Assalamu alaikum. You're listening to the Qalb Institute podcast, Companions of the Quran. This Ramadan, Qalb is committed to provide education and programs to all aspects of our local community as well as across the world. To help in this effort and invest in your Sadqa Jariyah, visit supportqalb.com and help us expand our efforts. Jazakallah khair and thank you for your continued support. Assalamu alaikum.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. Khususan ala sayyidi rusuli wa khatim al-anbiya wa ala alihi al-askiya wa ashabihi al-atqiya. Amma ba'd. The ulama have set a curriculum, a series of subjects that need to be studied to truly understand the Quran, starting with learning to recognize the letters, putting them together, reading with some fluency, correcting the pronunciation, understanding where to pause and where not to pause. Ilm al-Waqf is a science of its own. Then if you go to the writing and calligraphy side, there's a whole set of rules and guidelines there. And then comes in grammar and syntax, etymology, understanding where words are rooted from, how to conjugate verbs, how to proper vowel nouns. This then assists the student in translation. Once you know how to translate the Quran and understand the science and technicalities to it, now there are other sciences that come into play, and by bringing those sciences together, you have the tools needed to understand the Quran, and these sciences are derived from the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Quran itself. For example, ilm al-aqidah, the knowledge of belief. What is it that you believe? Similarly, understanding hadith, understanding a little bit of tariq, so when the Quran speaks of historical events, you're able to understand them and contextualize them. There are a whole series of subjects that are referred to as ulum al-Quran, sciences that relate to the Quran itself. All of these help you get closer to the Quran in a deeper, more organic and pure understanding. And then on the other hand, something we've been speaking of quite frequently in this series of ours is also memorizing the Quran. For all of this to occur, we need to be steady and slow. We need to be consistent. Even if you are consistent, you will hit roadblocks. Ask someone who studies grammar. It gets a little overwhelming. Sometimes your brain doesn't understand it anymore, or it's limited and restricted in application, so you keep going at it. Sometimes the same thing occurs when memorizing the Quran, that someone sits with the Quran and tries to memorize, and they've been trying to memorize a particular page for multiple hours, and they haven't been able to accomplish their goal. Therefore, the ulama, they say that as you take on any of these sciences, or if you sit with the Quran to just memorize verse after verse, page after page, one thing that you need to watch out for, one of the great barriers you will face, are distractions. It's easy to be distracted while you're memorizing, while you're studying the Quran. You're on your laptop and you're reading a book on tafsir, or reading one of the sciences, studying one of the sciences that will help you get closer to understanding the Quran, or maybe even just with your app open on your phone reading verses, and then a notification pops up. That's a distraction. That distraction breaks your focus. That focus is a barrier in your ikhlas, your sincerity, that requires a continuity to it. It can't be broken. It takes a lot of energy to be centered. This is why in our deen we have this concept that when we pray salah, we face the qibla. And we are told by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and thereafter the observing the salah of the companions and those who followed them and the works of the fuqaha and jurists, that they place a lot of emphasis on controlling the gaze while praying salah. Be careful where you look. Don't look left or right. Looking left or right, ikhtilas, I mean a shaitan. Shaitan is robbing and stealing from your worship. When it comes to distractions, many of the jurists even say, again, in the context of salah, that it is disliked to have calligraphy on the qibla wall of the masjid. Don't have calligraphy there. Don't have intricate writing there. Why is that? Because the person praying salah will get locked onto that writing. If they see an ayah of the Quran, they'll start focusing on that ayah rather than paying attention to their salah. It's easy to get distracted. So when you sit down to engage with the Quran, or if you're that young child or adult that's making an intention that I want to memorize the Quran, sit with the Quran while your mind is clear of distractions. Be mindful of what you're doing before you go into memorizing. If you've been sitting for 2 hours straight playing video games, or if you've been watching TV for 2 hours straight and then you turn the TV off and try to open the Quran, it won't work. Your mind is jammed. It's jammed with all these waswasas and all these thoughts and all these distractions. These ghafalat occupy it, and that can't work. You need to clear your mind. Therefore, the ulama would say that one of the best times to memorize the Quran is when? Early in the morning, at Fajr Salah. And honestly, you will find back home, not even after Fajr, they recommend memorizing the Quran before Fajr Salah. That before you touch your phone, before you check your email, before you check your text messages, while the world is still asleep and there are no expectations of you, no one's even under the impression that you are awake, you then pull out your mushaf and you start reading. Your mind is fresh. The common analogy they give is memorizing the Quran earlier in the day is like engraving something on wet cement. And then later in the day, with all those distractions and all the thoughts that are roaming around in your mind and polluting your thoughts, is like trying to etch something onto dried cement. It's beating and beating and beating. It's much harder. This is one of the reasons why they say that it is preferred to memorize the Quran at a younger age. Fewer distractions. When a person gets older, they have 100 responsibilities, and many of them are legitimate responsibilities, but they still occupy that real estate in your mind. Remember this when it comes to focus, that if you're trying to read and you find your mind drifting off, whether it's to a movie, to a show, to a conversation, to a debate, to an argument, to some political discourse, maybe to the business that you have, if you find your mind drifting in different directions while you're trying to focus, this is most likely a result of your heart being too inclined towards something else. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi talks about this. That you have to focus on your himam, the things that your heart is concerned about, the things that your heart loves. And there are many techniques that you can adopt to, you know, clear those thoughts from your mind. Some of the ulama, they say that it is recommended to do some istighfar before you start reading the Quran. Sit down for a few minutes. Do some istighfar. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Send salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is similar to maybe praying 2 rak'ah sunnah before you pray your fard. Why do we pray those 2 rak'ah sunnah before we pray our fard? One of the reasons the scholars write is to help clear your mind and get into the state that you need to be in before you actually start praying the fard salah. This is similar to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fasting in the month of Sha'ban before the arrival of Ramadan. And there are many other examples like this, that before the main ibadah comes, you spend a little time clearing yourself and being centered. So rather than just sitting down and opening your Quran and jumping right into it, you clear your mind. But what Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi says, ultimately, if you really want to clear your mind from those passing thoughts, you need to spend more time in the dhikr of Allah and focusing on the akhirah. You have to reprogram your heart. That the things that it's attached to in the world, detach them from those things by focusing on the akhirah. And then focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make a habit of doing dhikr of la ilaha illallah, Allah, Allah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. It'll help your heart connect. Likewise, when you sit to read the Quran, don't come in a state that you aren't able to be present. Someone is hungry. It's going to be difficult for you to focus. A person is tired. It's going to be difficult. The hadith in Sahih Muslim sorry, the hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, and also there is a version of this riwayah also found in Imam Nasa'i rahmatullahi alayhi sunan, narrated by our mother, Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha radiyallahu anha. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam noticed the companions were praying salah in an exhausted state, that when they stood to pray, they were tired, a little sluggish. So to that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ خُذُوا مِنَ الْأَعْمَالِ مَا تُطِيقُونَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَمَلُّ حَتَّى تَمَلُّوا وَإِنَّا حَبَّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَا دَامَ وَإِنْ قَلْ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not tire in rewarding you until you tire in worshipping Him. There's no race here. You don't need to become hafid by the age of 11, by the age of 10, by the age of 9. This isn't realistic. In some cases, it may be very easily achievable, and alhamdulillah. But it's not mandatory or fard that every child has to be hafid by the age of 12. Everyone has their own journey. Don't exhaust yourself. Come to the Qur'an when you are ready. So take your nap before you read the Qur'an. Have a little snack before you read the Qur'an. Sit in a place where there are no distractions. Turn that TV off. Find a place where there is silence, where there is nothing stimulating your ears or your eyes. Maybe not read the Qur'an while you're physically doing something. It won't give you the same focus that you need to connect deeply with the Qur'an. Choose one place that you sit, and sit in that one place every day for the sake of consistency. Even better, sit to memorize the Qur'an or engage with the Qur'an in a place where other people are doing the same thing and they are as focused or more focused than you, so you can feed off of their energy. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us a very beautiful adab of engaging with the Qur'an, that before you start with tita'awud and tasmiyah. When you start reading the Qur'an, say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. Shaitan wants to distract you. Shaitan doesn't want you to connect with the Qur'an deeply. So you start by, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. Mean it when you say it. Ask Allah for that protection from shaitan and his whispers. And then the second statement, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most beneficent. Say this statement. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah will come towards you. And it'll open your heart and give you that strength and that focus that you need with the Qur'an. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to overcome our barriers in our engagement with the Qur'an. And may Allah azza wa jal make us from the companions of the Qur'an. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.